I found out that a 401k is actually a retirement savings plan. I kind of already knew this, but it was it's a retirement savings plan that allows a worker to save for retirement and having the savings invested while deferring current income taxes on the saved money and earnings until the withdrawal. An IRA, it stands for Individual Retirement Accounts, so both of them are retirement savings accounts. As self-directed investment accounts that provide the incentive of tax-deferred in the case of traditional IRAs, or tax-free in the case of Roth IRAs, earnings on assets in the account. And then after the definitions of each, I get some general information about it. Then we had to take notes on this link. Let me put it in touch real quick. And we had to take notes on the Andrew Jackson section. It's like this: after the first paragraph, it says Andrew Jackson, 1828 to 1836. And we had to take notes on this, and there are my notes right there.
Okay, Abdullah, who was Andrew Jackson, and what did it have to do with what we're studying about currency? What does he have to do with that? You remember there was an essay that you were to write about this struggle, this epic fight. Did you hear me?
Yes. It was Andrew Jackson and Nicholas Biddle, of the Second Bank's Head, and they were going at it because Nicholas Biddle wanted the banks to control the currency, and Andrew Jackson just wanted government-issued money so they wouldn't have to owe money to the banks. And, of course, Nicholas Biddle wanted to stay in the banks because, I mean, who wouldn't want all that power that they have since they control the country's currency? So, basically, they were going back and forth. There was a bill that was getting ready to be passed, but Jackson had vetoed it, which it was getting ready to, I think, give, like, full 100% control to the banks, and they didn't. Of course, Nicholas Biddle wanted it, but Andrew Jackson didn't, so he vetoed it. And what else happened? Nicholas Biddle, Andrew Jackson ordered everybody that was in the country at that time to withdraw their government deposits from the Second Bank, which was the bank where Nicholas Biddle was the head of, and put them in safe banks. And then since Nicholas Biddle wanted everybody to keep their money in the accounts that they had at his bank, he threatened to cause recession or depression, and so he ended up refusing to issue new loans and calling existing loans, which caused a massive depression. Let me see what happened. That's all I have right now. It didn't have like a definite end, like who won or whatever.
No, it's an ongoing struggle. That battle happened six different times over the course of U.S. history. And we want you to be able to chart those battles, okay? So Tavon, who also was there, also feel free, students, any of you who weren't here, either because you weren't in the school or because you weren't here that day, to ask questions about it. Tavon, what do you have to add to this, sir?
Okay, with that bank, the Second Bank, Nicholas Biddle, he was the head of it. Andrew Jackson, he understood the power of he understood the power of the control of the currency. So that and the bank understood the power of the control of the currency. That's why they went to desperate measures to try and keep the government fine. Abdullah basically talked about everything for the thing I can say some quotes from my essay and from my notes also.
Please do. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and that's the page from my notes. And so they were put on the first thing. The first thing is basically the essay that they had that about the money struggle that Andrew Jackson had with the banks. A quote is controlling our. Well, this is it was a full quote, but I took a piece out of that quote. So controlling our currency, receiving public money, and holding thousands of our citizens independent will be more formidable and dangerous than the military power of the enemy. So basically, that shows that he understood the capacity and what the banks had the power that they had over the country. And pretty much whoever controls the currency is more stronger than any army or anything. So another quote is, nothing but widespread suffering will produce any effect on Congress. Our only safety in pursuing a steady course of firm restriction. I have no doubt that such a course will ultimately lead to restoration of the currency and the recharge of the bank. That was Nicholas Biddle. He quoted, he said that when he threatened to cast a depression over the whole country. So upon him saying that showed that he was serious, and he had a good strategy, because he knew that the government didn't want to.
So do you think, this is any of you now who listen to this, and particularly, you know, the students who've been in the class before, but do you think it was a wise choice on Andrew Jackson's part to, even though it was going to plummet the country into depression, because this is how the banks would cause a depression, as a way to retaliate and to force the pressure on him to recharter the banks. So do you think his move was a wise move?
I do, because and without even including the danger of it, then going into a depression, I still think the reward of it was a really great achievement, because he ended up proving to the banks that he'll still do what he needs to do to fix the problem, even though they were threatening the depression.
Okay. So Nima says Andrew Jackson, she agrees with that action. Give me some votes here, even for the new students. So far you've heard, you know, you had a president, somebody tell me, was he the first, second, third, fourth, fifth president of the United States, Andrew Jackson?
He was the second.
He was the second? All right.
No,
seven.
The seventh.
Okay, so the seventh president of the United States taking on second bank, and his doing so, he thought would help the nation, and he also knew that the banks would retaliate. And what does a depression mean? So the country would go into a depression. What does that mean when you have a depression? Anybody?
That means when everyone is poor and everyone is just struggling really bad, the government has run out of a lot of money. That's my definition.
Great. All right. Type that in the text chat. Others, well, you hear it all the time. There was a Great Depression, and we're in a recession, or maybe a depression. So what does it mean when a country is in a depression, based on what you think, you know? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say what Sakira said. When the dollar loses value and inflation starts, like, happening and, yeah, like that, and job jobless rates go up, and yeah, all that good stuff.
Okay, well, you got to define financial crisis. That's too general, but I got it. We're getting it here. That is, you got jobless rates go up. Now, you said everybody is poor. During the Great Depression, 28 to 1940, that often people call 1932, because it was a peak point, but actually it was a period from 1928 to 1940. That is, it affected different communities differently. Was everybody poor during that depression?
Not everyone, but a lot of us.
All right. You said everyone was poor. Okay. Do you want to change your definition?
Yes.
All right. Great. Safia, weigh in. What's a depression? Okay. Kamal and Sakili and Kanata, I want you three to, yes, Safia, what's a depression and what does it mean when the country is depressed? For our new students, I want you to go to your browser and look up and put in the text chat definitions that you get for depression, you know. And you don't have to get the same one, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you get, put the source and paste the definition here in the text chat. While Safia, you tell us what when a country goes in depression, you know, what are the characteristics? Welcome back, Allende. I don't you seem to be dropping pretty regularly, but thank you for hanging back in. Question on the table, Allende, is what is a depression, and when a country goes in a depression, what does it look like, or whatever? Safia? Okay. Safia, I didn't hear from you. Don't know what's going on. Allende, without looking it up, what do you think when there's a depression?
Maybe like basically unemployment. Unemployment rate drop that is causing, I guess, people end up losing money and end up being unemployed, something like that.
Okay. Couple of concepts regarding depression. Thank you, Tavon. I see a link that you put in. Safia, it's when the banks go into too much debt to get themselves out of. Okay, that may be the case. Depends on which banks are you talking about. You talk about the main bank, the Federal Reserve Bank. That bank is in too much debt to get themselves out of it. In the case of Andrew Jackson and Nicholas Biddle in that fight, the banks actually weren't in too much debt to get themselves out of it in that instance. Off here. All right, Kanata has a period during which business employment stock value declines severely or remain at a very low level of activity. Nima agrees. Okay. All right. Well, given the things that you said, and there may be some definitions that keep coming in, definitely want you to clear out that everybody is poor. Okay. Currency uses value. Yes. Now, that doesn't have to mean it's the dollar, okay, because the dollar is just one form of currency. Depending on what country you're in, it's something else. And if we're using our own currency, that's something else. All right, a couple of things. So Andrew Jackson made a move that was going to cause the country to go into a depression where there would be high unemployment high prices there. And now when there are high prices and a lot of unemployment, it generally means that you can't afford or can't get some of the things that you used to get. Is that correct? I can talk to him and hit the text, you know. I mean, you can type too, but I also want to hear your voices.
Yes,
okay.
Most of the time.
All right. So you got this. Now let me check. Sakila, is your mother back yet? Because I want to make sure that I bring her to the class when she comes back.
I don't think so.
Okay, that's good. All right, that's great. I just don't want to be here and not into it. Okay, now, we've talked in this class about our own currency. So I want to keep in mind what we just discussed, presented to us by Abdullah and Tavon, of this battle between the 7th President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, and the head of the Second Bank, which was then the predecessor to the Federal Reserve, okay, bank today. And Nima at least believes that, and I assume that Tavon and Abdullah also agree that what Andrew Jackson did was a good thing, even though they were going to have to take a blow from Nicholas Biddle and the banks. Right, Tavon? Right, Abdullah?
Yes.
All right. So that was going to cause a depression in which the citizens of the United States weren't going to, some of them at least, weren't going to be able to buy and afford to buy some things that they could get before. So they're going to have to do without some things. But you think it's good for them to kind of do without some things in the short term so that they'll be in a better position in the long term. Right?
Correct.
All right. So suppose now we talk about making our own currency. Because part of what Tavon presented to us was a quote from Andrew Jackson saying, you know, if you control the currency, then you control the people. And that power is even more formidable than a military. So what would happen then if we're talking about freedom as a people, and we talked about creating our own currency initially as a supplemental currency? And it would seem to me, and I want your opinions on this, that to whatever extent we developed it would be that, to that much more of an extent we're being free. Okay, so if you imagine we're 100% oppressed and then we got supplemental currency that we use 20% of the time, then that we got 20% more freedom, or 30% more freedom if that grew, or 40% more freedom, at least freedom from the control exerted by people controlling the currency. Agreed or disagreed? You know, you follow me?
I agree. I'm following.
Okay. Now, if we did that, then there would be certain things that we're not going to be able to have, at least initially. And the question is, would you be willing to do without some of the things that you, do without some of the things that you normally would have, not everything, because it's a supplemental currency. That's right. You know, Andrew Jackson said, y'all going to have to do some hard times for us to be free of these folks who are trying to control us. So there's certain things you won't be able to buy. Well, if you begin to have your currency and you're starting it, then the question is, are you willing to do without some of those things? Okay. We don't know. I haven't specified them. Right now, the key is, you see, often change, in order for change to take place, there is always a cost, and people got to be prepared to pay the cost so that they can have something later on. Like, some people save 10% of their income religiously, 10%. So if they get paid $100 before they pay any bill, power bill, water bill, gas bill, they pay themselves first. They put $10, 10% of that in a savings, okay, religiously. They may put more, but minimally 10%. Now, a lot of people, so therefore, they may not be able to afford some things.
Bawakesa.
Yes.
My mom wants to know the password to the computer.
Oh, okay. All right. Tell her I'll be right there. All right. Now, I'm going to get Mama Amani Reynas in. While I do that, I want y'all to discuss this a little bit. The question on the table is, would you be willing to hurt a little bit in order to get a little bit more freedom in terms of currency?
I believe that that's required to do if you need that.
I think that you sit down before you make any decision. You know, decisions always have pros and cons to them, but you weigh them out depending on what your plan result is and what your con is. So, I think that what Andrew Jackson did was good because it was a good you can't call it an investment, but I think it is a good act of leadership, because if you look at it, the banks, I think, are in control now still, but then the banks, the second bank was out of control. They had to put them out because the charter had went down. But the charter probably wouldn't have went down if, not at that time, if the depression wasn't caused, because that was the tactic. That was the only thing to keep them in business. That was the only way they can stay in business from that. Causing that depression to see if Andrew Jackson ended up putting the money back in the bank.
So basically, what the what I'm asking a question as, if you split this, if you split it into pros and cons, there's probably going to be more cons than pros. So what the question is that, would you be able to handle the cons while knowing you could get a lot of pros out of that?
Well, I'd say for me personally, I don't have to know what specific cons there would be. So if we were going to do that, would it be like, am I going to have to go without clothes, or am I going to have to go without vacations? So I need to know like what it is I'm giving up and for what I'm gaining, so I can know exactly, have a clear understanding of what my decision is going to be.
Okay, I'm back in. Mama Amani Reynas is in with us as well. We don't want good. Are y'all in the middle of a heated discussion here, or are you, or has it waned?
No, we were just talking about whether that was a good decision and how you should make those decisions. I was saying that you should. It all depends on what your plan outcome is and your cons are to different things. Because with dealing with decisions like that, like dealing with wars with banks and stuff like that, that's kind of big. And basically, you have the nation in your hand. So everyone's looking up to you as a leader. And you have to make the best decision. And
But all that's philosophical. I'm not in it out of it. You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't disagree. But that's nice and philosophical. The question is, you know, that I left you with is, would you be willing to do without? You said that, the country, it was good that the country did without, so that the country could have its freedom. And I'm saying, what do you mean you don't know? What would be kinds of things that you wouldn't be willing to do without so that you could have some freedom?
I don't know. I couldn't imagine. If I had to give up anything, my computer, no, not giving that up. Is any of my video games or consoles or anything? Nope, not giving that up. If it's any of my basketballs or my basketball shoe or anything that has to do pertaining to basketball that I have, nope, not giving that up. But,
So that means the things that you like, you're not willing to give. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Konano.
If that is what your choice would be, it would be, I would choose, freedom and I would be able to, give away my computer or, stuff that I like to do or, stuff that I usually enjoy. But something weighs more than the other thing because, objects are not better than freedom.
I would say if, because what I like to do is art, so if I was, to work on this, I have no time to do anything, artistically. I have to give up all of my paints or Photoshop or whatever it is I use for my art. Once I gain my freedom, what am I going to use it for if I can't do what it is I want to do? So I would say for materials, I would give up stuff that I already don't use as my freedom, because art, that to me is already freedom right there. But if I had to give that up, to make our own currency? No. But if I have to give up, you know, oh, your shoes, oh, your bracelet, well, okay. Or I have to give up even, like, my computer. Fine, I can draw without a computer. But if it was anything, like, that was near and dear to me, then no, I wouldn't.
I could not.
Hold on a second.
I don't know.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Safiya? Safiya, can you hear me? Please talk. Don't type. You agree with what? With, there have been two different positions put out, Safiya. One person, Kanata said he'd be, for his freedom, he'd give up his basketball, he'd give up his computer. With Nima. Okay. Okay. And Kamal asked a wonderful question. Imagine what you could do with your art and basketball and computers after retrieving, and I love that word, retrieving, not just achieving your freedom.
What I would have to do, like, to be without basketball for however long to even achieve freedom, I could do everything else. I think I could do everything else besides that. You cannot take away basketball from me. That's no. That's where I draw the line.
Well, you know, it's cool. It's just it's what's important to really understand and is Yvonne made a statement from Andrew Jackson, okay, and that is that people controlling your currency is greater control. It's more formidable than a military. So I want you to imagine with me that your neighborhood where you live was invaded by foreigners, was cordoned off, hold on, stop the typing right now, was invaded by foreigners, whatever you want, whatever face you want to put on them, okay, right now, and they invaded your neighborhood, they locked you in, they invaded your houses, they made your mama and dad, or the men and the women prisoners. They put the children over in one set of compound, and they told you what to do and made you work for them. And the only thing you could do is work for them and eat. Now, that's what a military does if it doesn't just shoot you right out. Okay, that's what Jackson was talking about when he says more formidable than a military. So under those kind of conditions, would you still want to play basketball? You heard exactly what I said. Describe. Listen. Go right into the scenario. You're in a scenario, and folks have your parents in captivity. You in a separate place in captivity. Okay. They're killing who they want to kill, and anybody doesn't work for them. In that kind of scenario, would you be willing, if there was an opportunity, would you be willing to not worry about basketball or anything else in order for you to get free?
Only because probably because people I know and love are involved in it. Probably if it wasn't for that, then no, I would still want to play basketball.
That's fine. Just know, now hopefully y'all stay with me now, all of you, because whenever it gets down to it, it always gets down to the things you love. And this is why I'm glad, Abdullah, that you're holding to how much you love basketball. Because part of what you allow us to see is when it comes down to making a choice for freedom, it really also gets down to it's easy for us to give up the things that we don't care about. The things that we do care about are the ones that's most difficult. Okay, and what's important is that we learn, since while it's more formidable than a military, those who control your currencies don't come in with guns. At the same time, they are more formidable than a military. And what we'll need to see as we go on is how what we like to do, and certainly what we think we have to do and have to have, very often are dictated by the very people as a part of the control mechanism. Okay? And so the metaphor that I want you to use, all of you, for what Abdullah is using basketball, is out of this, because I'm not into debating that much more. What I want you, a couple things I want you to put in the text chat, and then I want you to get, we want to get clear about. What does freedom look like when we're talking about not, because you will agree that our currency, the currency that we use as black people, is controlled by somebody else, correct? And so what would freedom look like if we control our own currency? Okay? More and more. To the point where we totally control our own currency, where we weren't dependent on the U.S. currency at all, but even in increments. So I want you to take a note, put that in a text chat, because I want you, that's something we're going to get to. I want you to begin to think about, what would it look like? What would your life look like? What would it be like if we were controlling our own currency? Number two, how is, I don't see y'all, am I going too fast? Because I don't see anybody firing up the text chat. When I said type in the text chat, good, okay. Thank you, Nima. You can use your own shorthand if you want to, but, you know, number two, how is other people's controlling the currency we use, how is that captivity? How are we restricted? How are we limited? How are we injured? Restricted, injured, limited. Are other people's using our, other people controlling the currency that we use in our community? Right. How is it like a form of captivity? Okay. Now, if we're not aware of that, then we don't know the captivity that we're in. And so it's really hard to make a decision about what you're giving up, was, you know, I mean, outside of a philosophical stand, which I think is a good one, but still, I also want you to be able to make a practical stand, because you know what it's costing. Like, I wouldn't give up my children for my computers, and I'm like, I do, I love computers, you know, but I wouldn't give them up. I love cameras too. Man, if you sitting where Kanata is sitting, if you look, he looks to his right, he'll see about 6 cameras and lenses all on the thing, and, you know, cameras that I took to Africa and cameras that I've had. It's hard for me to let them go because they have so much meaning and so much memory for me. Even though they're film cameras and they're not digital. But if those cost me certain things, I'd give them up if I know what the cost is. Like, I mean, if I have a son named Allende as well, Allende, and so so in order for me to really make a decision about what I'm giving up, I got to know what the cost is, and also got to know what the benefit is of our maintaining our own currency. Okay, all right, we're going to transition, but a couple key things I want to open up for last questions or comments about this section before we transition. Here, the outside of what I've just said, I want to give up big ups to to Abdullah and Tavon for doing the assignments, reading the work, and bringing this battle, because we're going to follow this battle. For those of you who've looked at The Secret of Oz, and I've asked you to look at it again in a way so that you follow the battle, because this battle that you saw between Nicholas Biddle and Andrew Jackson happened 6 different times in U.S. history, and of course it is right now. So let me just stop right there. Any questions or comments before we close this particular section? Amani Reynas, how about any questions? Questions from you? I mean, not questions or comments. Yes. Who needs to be excused? Yes, Tavon.
Oh, I was really enjoying the questions and the responses from the students, and of course, I was responding here on my own and gesturing. So.
Great. All right. The what I want you to know for your students who are new students is, you know, what you're thinking and your opinion is welcome. And you'll find that students may disagree with you. I may disagree with you. Others may disagree with you. And we're not just it's really okay. The key thing is that you honestly say where you are, and if that changes after a while, yes, fine, you can say that too. If it doesn't, that's okay, but it's okay to guess at Aya, and it's also okay to say where you really are. All right. Let's switch up a bit, and we're going to go back to Nima and Safia and Ayende, because the last thing that y'all did was to look at, I think I'm correct, take notes from the economic conundrum. Is that the last thing? Anima and Safia and Ayende.
Take note from what again?
I think the last thing you said that you had done, because you were absent last class, was taking notes from that. Well, tell me if I'm missing that. The last set of work that you did, notes from assignments, studying from the class and or from the videos that were assigned or readings, take me there for each one of you, Ayende, Safia, and Nima. So take me to your last produced work.
Okay, so the last thing that I did was the Andrew Jackson essay, and I put that link into the text chat at the beginning. I'll put it in.
All right. Thank you. Safia and Ayende. Okay, I'm sorry. Ayende is having connection problems. His internet is intermittent, and so he's moving in and out. Okay. All right, I see that, Nima. You talked about that. Okay, good. That's an essay. I appreciate that. Safia is getting hers. Then, while that's the case, I'd like to have... Yes, Kamal? Were you about to say something, Kamal? I see your light lighting up, but I don't hear you.
I think he's having difficulty again.
Okay, all right. All right. Okay, great. So, what I'd like is, for our new students, one of the things that we've talked about is... currency and currency backed by a gold standard or what's called fiat currency. I'd like for Safia and Nima and Abdullah to explain to you and y'all to ask questions about what is gold standard currency, what is fiat currency, and based on their research and understanding so far, which is better. So now, Zakili, Kamal, and Konata, now the key here is for you to get understanding. So you ask as many questions as you need, as Abdullah and Nima and Safia and Tavon, when he returns, explain to you what is currency, what is current gold standard currency, what is what's called fiat currency. And which one they think is better based on our previous discussions and their research. So, okay, go for it.
What fiat money is money that's not backed by precious metals. So an example of fiat money would be dollars, since dollars are backed by any kind of...
That
not backed by any kind of precious metal, so a dollar would be fiat money.
You mean as in kind of money that doesn't have any other kind of price that is backing it up?
Okay, yes, because European money started out as gold, and the dollar was created as a kind of receipt for... transaction of gold, so that's how that became a dollar used to be backed by the gold standard which is has precious metals behind it. So once that faded out, and today your dollar, all you can get for a dollar is a dollar. So since it's not backed by anything else besides a dollar, that makes it fiat money.
And since it's a set amount, unlike the gold standard, like the value of gold can change just like that. Like a receipt is like, you know, when you. All right, hey, can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Okay. Well, I was saying that, what was I saying? Okay, yeah, the gold standard currency, since it's backed by gold, the value of gold can just change, like, in the blink of an eye. Like, a dollar could be worth 3 pieces of gold 1 minute, and then 8 pieces of gold the next minute, and then, literally nothing the next minute. So, I mean, and a receipt is something like basically saying that, if you, I'm trying to, read my notes, if you, deposit a certain amount of gold, and then they give you, like, a slip of paper that is worth that amount of gold that you deposited, so then you can go to, like, a store and give them, the receipt, for, let's say, 9 pieces of gold, and you want to buy some bread for 9 pieces of gold, so you just gave them that receipt that's worth 9 pieces of gold, and then they're like, oh, okay, that's cool, and then they go deposit that receipt for 9 pieces of gold. And I think, personally, that fiat money is better since it's a set amount, and the value of the dollar essentially, like, stays the same, because all you can get for a dollar is a dollar, like Nina said, and $20 is $20. But for gold, like, I can have a dollar, and like I said, it can be worth 30 pieces of gold 1 minute, then 3 pieces of gold the next minute, and then 1 piece of gold the next minute, and it's just bouncing all over the place. So I would like... Yeah, the currency that we have now is fiat, so I would stick with fiat.
I agree. Actually, as we've discovered so far, the value of currency, most currency, or American currency today, is scarcity and not the actual gold itself. So if a lot of people get a lot of money, an influx of money, like this story that we read about this man named Mansa Musa. He was the king of Mali, and he went, and since he was so rich, he gave a lot of money to everybody that he passed. He passed through a bunch of towns and cities, and he gave everyone all this money. And because everyone became richer, merchants started to raise their prices, and that's what inflation is. And so the value of that money was not based on actual gold. It was based on the scarcity of it and how many people had how much. So that's how the gold is valued. I'm not sure about the specific weights of each, how much gold is valued per weight, but I'm not sure, really sure about that.
Great questions. Appreciate your questions from the new students and the presentation. Safia, I expected a little bit more cleanup from you, sister. I got that you typed in the currency we have now is now fiat. You're a senior. I want you to, be able to wrap it up. I got the gold is valued by weight. Also, is your microphone shot, Safia? Please talk to me. Press your mic, please. Not sure. Okay. I assume your mic is shot. Safia. Okay. So what I see here. Also, please let me know early on, and don't assume that it carries over, because I assume from one time to the next you've gotten your mic fixed. So if it's still broke, let me know that. Okay. Okay. And Nima saying it must have gotten broken between from last class because you were talking. All right. The you got gold standard currency is backed by gold. You have for the amount of gold you have. You have gold is valued by its weight as a question. The question on the table, Safia, was also for you to say to describe the two currency and which you think is better. Okay, and so I just want you to step up to, you know, have a more comprehensive. Plus, some of this is a review for you. Now, of course, as you know, we're going more in depth here than we did before, and so, but some of it is a review. So I expect your, whether you're typing or you're talking, for your to be more thorough in your explanations, as is expected of a senior. Okay, so I just want you to step that up a bit, please, ma'am. A couple of things here. Abdullah, the value of a dollar also fluctuates. Just so if you're choosing to value fiat currency over gold standard based on the gold fluctuate and a dollar doesn't, that's not true. The dollar is always worth a dollar, but what's a dollar worth in terms of what it can buy fluctuates wildly. Okay, so the stability is not in the kind of currency that you have. The stability is not in whether or not it's gold, as you saw with the Mansa Musa example that Nima referred to. It was a solid gold piece. The weight, the value of it had been already established. Mansa Musa came on the set, and all of a sudden it wasn't worth as much anymore. Hence, scarcity, as Nima said. So neither the physical characteristics of the currency that you have doesn't determine its value, right? Whether it's just paper or whether it's metal. The people determine its value, okay? And we'll go more into details if you don't to make sure that you understand that. But I really want to correct what sounded like for you a basis for deciding that fiat currency was better was because gold fluctuates and a dollar doesn't fluctuate, okay? All right? Do you understand that, Abdullah and Nima? Because you both were operating on the assumption that a dollar is always worth a dollar, but what's a dollar worth, you know, in terms of what a dollar can buy? Like right now, I mean, folks, me and Mama Amani Reynolds are going to take a trip back in time now. You know, I remember when I paid 25 cents for a gallon of gasoline. Hey.
But is that truly like the value of a dollar? Is that just people? Is that like inflation? I mean, because still, like we were saying, if you give a dollar, you get a dollar, right?
No, but the key is, what is it worth in terms of, you remember, currency is just the medium of exchange. In terms of the value is the goods and services that it buys. Okay? So if I got a gold piece, it will buy so much goods and services based on how it's valued. If I have a dollar, it'll buy so much goods and services. Okay? I mean, using the standard that I just said about what I paid for gas, that I could put a dollar worth of gas in my car and I got 4 gallons of gas. Today, for me to get 4 gallons of gas, you know, at $3 a gallon, how much does that cost?
$12. Barakas, I had a question.
Yes.
You said that you remember when you paid 25 cents for a gallon of gas, but was it harder to earn that 25 cents then than it is now?
No. No. But I'm glad you're asking. This is important because, you see, the kind of fantasy is that inflation is a natural thing, okay? And if you want to say that what goes up is income goes up to match inflation, that's excellent. I think that's where you're going. Is that where you're trying to go? That inflation goes up, the price of it goes up, but my income goes up. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay, this is excellent. Excellent. You're a genius. Okay. Because part of what I want us to look at is when you want to judge the condition and the value, then you can look at the inflation rate versus the income. All right. So has my income or black people's income adjusted so that it basically is a wash? So while it cost 25 cents then and now it costs $3, okay, $3.05 for a gallon, my income is also 12 times as much as I would have made then. Okay? Right? Because, again, for me to get, so it's 12 times as much. So you gotta ask yourself, as we go through and prices go up, is the income matching the inflation rate? Now, without doing a whole lot of, I tell you what, I want us to do a 60-second search. I want us to search right now, everybody, inflation rate versus income rate. Balance or out of balance? Find some information. Whatever you find, put your source and your information right here in the text chat. The clock is ticking. You got 60 seconds.
You said income rate?
That's right.
Income.
You know, Tavon was saying, wasn't it harder for me to earn that money? So he was saying, yes, it costs more, but you got more money. So that's income. Okay. Great, Nima. All right, folks. Y'all come on. Keep it coming. What you got, Kamal? What you got, Sakili? How do we find this information? Well, now, listen to, is that bank income? Now, give me your findings, not just your site. What are you finding? All right, you got bank income versus inflation rate, but right now I want us to stay focused on the cost of goods to us and the inflation rate that has that cost go up, or the decreasing value of the dollar compared to my income rate or your parents' income rate, you know, or, you know, if you want to go the average, you know, person in this country's income rate. All right, Tavon seems to have found something. All right, also put your source, Tavon. Thank you. Okay, so she got a income and an inflation wash for 2008. Okay, so you're going in the right direction. Okay, time up. Time's up. All right, we're gonna relegate this one to some homework. Okay. If we can find it quickly, we'll move on. If not, again, you know, make sure that you note this for your homework, and that is you're going to, I want a comparison over a particular period, okay? If you can find any research on inflation rate versus the income rate, and particularly, in addition to generally, now I want you to hone it in since it's homework for the Black community. I want you to look at Black people's income versus the inflation rate, and has our income risen, okay, to match inflation? All right, let me see what you got, Safi. You got some good stuff here. Inflation data, okay. All right, thank you, Nima. So we want you to know generally. We also want you to know specifically for our people. If you look at the income for African Americans, okay, and then you look at the inflation rate for the country, because we got to pay the same thing, does it keep up? And that was spawned by Tavon's comment in response to my $25 a gallon. I heard you laughing out there, Mama, when I said 25 cents a gallon. It's headed to $25 a gallon. All right. Now, does everybody want to be clear? I want a report. Okay, I want a report. Black income versus inflation. Okay. Yes, Nima.
You mean like a written report, or like just to tell you what we found, like a report?
Yeah, but at least a paragraph or two, you know, paragraph or two, because you'll probably find it over a particular period. So you want to be able to say, based on the article might not cover it from, you know, 1960 to now. It may cover it over a period of time. So, and you want to be able to quote your sources well. So according to blah, blah, blah. So don't just say this is what it is, because that's just what that person says. Now, I'm not saying that person's not credible, but you always want to say according to 1, 2, 3. And of course, the more sources that you have to corroborate it, the better it is. So, you know, a paragraph or two. Okay, we'll be fine. If you want to stretch it out more than that, that's up to you. But I basically want you to be able to show us, you know, based on your research, and if you find conflicting research, then you put that as well, okay? What has been the income of our people versus the inflation rate, so that you begin to understand whether Tavon's, as Tavon suggested, whether he's correct, that the rising prices have been a wash. Okay. Now, I do want to reiterate on inflation, that inflation is not automatic. Inflation is not natural. Inflation is not human nature. Now, let's talk a little bit about that, because some of you may disagree, or some of you may have had thoughts about that before. How many of you have been taught, or just kind of caught and just kind of believe, that inflation, prices rising higher and higher, is just a natural occurrence and will happen just because people keep living?
I've thought about that before. I've never, I've always thought that, that it's not natural. That people just trying to get
moving. Thank you, Tavon. Kamal, do you please jump in this conversation, brother? If your mic is not working, please type. Anima, yeah, I don't suspect that you were taught about inflation at all. You know, you have to come to IA to do that unless you go to college. They'll talk about it to you in college, but they still won't teach you what you're learning now. But you also are taught in a socialized way. And y'all write this down. Put it in the text chat. More is caught than is taught. Type it in the text chat, everybody. More is caught than is taught. That is, through watching television, through hearing newscasts, through hearing people talk, you actually catch things. It's not necessarily a specific curriculum that you have a test on, but you literally begin to learn or make certain assumptions. And some of those are some of the most powerful things. They drive your life. So what I was asking is not just whether you were taught that, but whether you came to believe that, however you came to believe it, that inflation was a natural occurrence. Or another question, is inflation a good thing? Then why don't we stop it? And why don't we stop it?
Because we don't control.
Uh-huh. Of course, now if we had our own currency operating like IA dollars, we could control it, couldn't we? Mm-hmm. How do we control our own currency? Well, one of the things that you have for homework, Sakili and Kunada and Kamal, is there is a paper that Safia and Ife and all the students who took the Economic Conundrum. Safia, have you found your paper yet? I certainly would love to have them read your paper. In lieu of that, you'll read a paper called The Economic Conundrum. That was the name of the class, but Making Our Own Sense. And if Safia finds her paper, we'll also have you read hers. Right now, the one that the class has read is one written by a former student who actually teaches on Fridays and is at Bennett College. And it's called Making Our Own Sense. So that's how we begin to control our currency, or she describes that. And there are some videos that we also assigned that she refers to in that. Let me give you that link so that you will have that link and you can answer that question, begin to answer that question of how we control that. Tell you what, while I'm getting the link, who has, Nima, would you describe what the folks in Ithaca, New York are doing based on what you learned so far? So our new students, their answer is, how can we control inflation?
Okay, so what they're doing in Ithaca, New York is they started their own currency called Ithaca Hours. And it was a way for students to bring more money into their lives, to doing things they like to do. Because people had less and less, because of the recession, people have less and less dollars. So Ithaca Hours, they decided to create this to kind of get things that they need without having to have dollars. It was started, I think, in 93 or 83. And today, about 500 to 1,000 people use Ithaca hours. And in Ithaca, New York, there's about $130 in circulation worth of Ithaca hours. It never leaves the community because only people want to use it in Ithaca. And so it's just circulating around, people spending it and using it to get things, and it enables people to save their dollars for things that they can't pay with Ithaca hours. And the Ithaca hour name came from depending on which note you have, it is it represents an hour of work. So they have one that represents 1 hour of work, they have one that represents a fourth or 2 hours or a third of an hour of work, so that's what they call Ithaca hours. To get the Ithaca hours, you have to pay a membership fee of $10 for, they list you in this directory so that you're kind of like noted that you're going to be spending the Ithaca hours. And it's one of the questions was, is that even legal to do, to start your own currency? And the answer is yes. It's legal in the U.S., and it always has been. And the bills have special marks on them so that you can't make them at home and use counterfeiting. There are taxes with Ithaca hours, but it's only for involved in businesses. And the success of Ithaca hours is due to the community working together, getting advice and feedback, also with perseverance and dedication. Right now I'm reading off my notes. That's really it.
Fantastic. Great summary. And now, part of what you, those of you I put in the text chat, when you're assigned a paper, like I have given you the link to EFACE paper, where you see 1158-56, here's a paper, and then further down, one of the things she refers to in the paper, and what Nima was referring to, is a video that you'll need to watch on Ithaca Hours. You'll notice when she says, I'm reading from my page, whenever you're assigned a paper or a video, you have to write or type your notes, or you can write them and then bring them over later, or you can type them as you're watching. The point is, you have to have notes that you can refer to summarize the video that you watched and or the paper that you read. Okay, great job, Nima, summarizing that, including a number of things, the tax part and those things. It was very excellent job. And the reason, you know, again, we want you to go to your notes is because you don't have to just call it all from memory. You go to your notes and you have it there. So also look at Kanata had a summary here. The Ithaca hours, a local currency used in Ithaca, New York, is the oldest and largest local currency system. Nima, you one point you said there are $130 in circulation. I think you missed a couple of zeros off of there in circulation. A lot more than that, and $130,000, and a lot of I think last and it's been a while, it was the last class before since I've had updated it all, but there were over 700 businesses that accepted Ithaca hours. 700 businesses participating in it. This particular link that Kanata found also said there was a similar system in Madison, Wisconsin, and Ohio, and EFA's article gives you also the Berkshire dollars, and each system is a system of its own currency. It's going to be good for us to study those so that we are able to thoroughly answer the question that you put in, Sakila, like how do we do that? How do we, and with our own currency, can we control inflation? And does our own currency have an influence on how inflation helps us, the inflation, how would help us handle the inflation that we don't control? Okay, so a related question. And good job, Kanata, for finding that. Kanata, whenever you put in something like that, would you also put in your link that is your source? Okay? Yes.
Okay.
So could you technically, like, go to Ithaca, you could have a job in Ithaca, right? And let's say you work 9 hours, since each hour is worth one Ithaca hour. So you can get, like, let's say you work 9 hours, you get 9 Ithaca hours, and then you could turn those hours back into U.S. dollars. You can end up having $90, right?
Well, it depends on, no, the system, typically, you may get somebody that will trade you your Ithaca hours for U.S. dollars. You know, I don't know if that's what they do at the bank there. They typically like to keep them inside so that you would take those Ithaca hours and find somebody who's selling computers and who's willing to get paid in part or whole in Ithaca hours. And they may say, well, if you're buying a computer from me, then I got to get paid in U.S. dollars. If you want computer repair, I will repair your computer, do virus checking, do whatever, and ask Tavon. He's had to pay a lot this year, you know, or actually they had insurance, thank goodness. But anyway, if he would have had to put out his pocket, a lot you have to pay sometimes to do virus and keep your computers up. And the person says, no, I take any services that I provide those services in Ithaca dollars. So if you had $90, that means you get $90 worth of computer service that you'd have to pay for. And if you somebody may be willing to trade you that. In fact, the Ithaca hours, or as we said, the Aya dollars, could actually be worth more. And so you could say, well, you know, if you got Ithaca hours or Aya hours, I'll pay you $120 for them as opposed to $90 for them. Because there's some services that some people who only take Aya dollars offer that I really want. In which case, now the value of the Aya currency is actually greater than the U.S. currency. And that's not based on what, because Aya has more gold or less gold. Does that answer your question, Abdullah?
Yes.
You'll notice I'll always stretch to have you see the value of our own currency over the value of a U.S. currency. For you, you seem to be excited about it. I'm glad you asked the question because this has to do with exchange rate. You remember we had one class before where we were talking about the exchange rate of money in Tanzania or Kenya and Mexico and Britain and how we could actually, with our own currency and our own agreements, have what we do more valued. Okay. Okay, great. All right, good. So that could work just like that. I don't know if in Ithaca they have a station set up for exchanging currency or not. Do you see what I'm saying? So I can't answer that because they really like to keep. Also, for some of you the $130,000 may not seem like a lot of money, but when you're talking about currency moving around and around. Let's take a look at that in two ways quickly. Why do you think, well, I'll just tell you this. Companies, cities, and states bid for big events like NFL championship game, NBA championship game, the March Madness, and you know that. What are some other big events? The Democratic National
Convention.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say Charlotte recently, it was all over the news. They recently won the bid for the Democratic convention.
All right, so now, and one of the reasons they do that is that people bring money into the city, right? All right, now whenever money comes into an area, that money turns over a certain number of times. And each time it turns over, it enriches the local economy. Each time it changes hands. Okay, so I want to give you an additional little assignment, okay, because I'm going to tell you that minimally it turns over 7 times, okay, so if a dollar comes in or $100 comes in, it turns over 7 times. There is a time when during an era called the Little Africa. It's also called Black Wall Street in Tulsa, where the currency, once it got into our community, it turned over 30 times before it went out of our community. So what I want you to do is, just one little addition to your homework here, is answer the question, do some research, and put this as a part of your report, your written report. So now you may add another paragraph or so. And that is when conventions or events come to town, what is the current estimate of how many times that money turns over, okay, or changes hands? And so that means if someone comes in and they need some gas, so they stop at a gas station, so they're going to spend some money on gas. All right, well, if we're going to have extra gas, a lot of people, then I may have to hire an extra attendant, okay? So that money now I've turned over, you got gas from me, I got to give part of it to Sakili because she got to help me serve all these customers. Sakili now is going to go, and with that, she can go buy that whatever she's been wanting. And so now it's changed hands again, okay? Or if I have a restaurant, I got to order more food. You know, I got to order more tablecloths. I got to order more. And then those people who get that, so do y'all get that when I say money turning over? Or changing hands. Give me an idea. Okay, good. So your job is to find out currently when people are bidding, what do they expect? The how many times are they expecting the money to turn over? And then also you're to do some research on Little Africa to see what you can find out about Little Africa, and particularly about our money. The money systems, anything about the money systems that we had, anything that had to do with either currency or money or how we handled money or businesses, okay? And we'll also talk about the fight because we fought and we rebuilt, but we're going to put that on the back burner right now. All right, it's 12:10 p.m. We, you know, get out of here in 5 minutes. Let's make sure that you understand what the homework is, and also do you have any questions or comments to help clarify anything for you today? Now, can somebody give me a summary of what? Quick, can you give me a summary? If it's not one person, somebody, what did we talk about today? We still got about 4 minutes. What did we talk about that was significant? Give me some of the lines. What did we talk about? What did we learn?
One of the things that we went over was the inter-Jackson economic struggle hinged with the second bank.
Okay, all right.
Who controls the money?
Okay.
How banks own a lot of the country.
I didn't understand that, Tavon.
How banks own a lot of the country.
How do we get to that? I don't really was talking about that today.
No, I mean, like, not actually physically owning the country, but the struggle between the currencies, the fight between the currencies, and the government.
Okay, I got you. So it's that Andrew Jackson, Nicholas Biddle. Okay, all right. So what else? What else did we cover, of significance today?
Fiat money versus gold standard, what exactly fiat money it was and which one we preferred.
And what did you learn today about that you weren't as cognizant of before, Abdullah?
That a dollar isn't really like worth just a dollar. also that that was it.
Great, excellent. We also talked about off of the Andrew Jackson and Nicholas Biddle, we talked about your own. We talked about your what you'd be willing to sacrifice for freedom, for economic freedom, in terms of us controlling our own currency. I thought that was a great discussion. All right, anything else? What stuck out for you? Kamau, anything that stuck out for you today? Anything that you take away from this that you either appreciate or that you learned or relearned? All right. One of the ways we like to end classes, of course, is with appreciations. And I know sometimes I run you right over or overtime, so I cut that short. But right now we still have 2 minutes. Anything that you appreciate about the class or that you learned or relearned, please say it out loud so we can get some energy to go on our break and get ready to go to lunch.
Okay. I appreciate Amani Reynolds. I have family. Coming to visit us today, I appreciate all of us having dedication to teaching about currency and about learning how to operate, even with a better understanding of what we're doing.
I appreciate Mama Amani Reynes and all the new students for coming today and participating in the class. I appreciate all customers from the class and the rest of the students for participating too.
There is one thing that I forgot, and that is I think Kamal or someone in the earlier discussion when we were talking about inflation, and somebody said it's controlled by greed. And that's true. And that's in that discussion about whether inflation is automatic. That's another piece. What is inflation? Is it automatic? Tavon's question, inflation versus income. A key point we want to get to. There are several key points that we're going to build on here. All right. It's 12:15. Madasi, have a great lunch, and I'll see you. Bye now.